Today on Real Life Radio.
Listen, don't speak out loud. Have you ever sensed, I'd like to use the word heard, but I don't want to mislead you. Have you ever heard the Holy Spirit speak to you? Doesn't like he has a voice like this. Jack, I saw that. He doesn't talk like that. He talks with your own voice in your head, but you know it's not you.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues in the book of Philippians with a message called Finders Keepers, Losers Winners. Now, the book of Philippians is an unusually warm and deeply personal letter from Paul. Here now, as we continue in chapter 3, we find that when it comes to Jesus Christ, all else is considered a loss when compared to the greatness of knowing Him. You see, the desire to save ourselves, it's part of our fallen nature, isn't it? But the Bible tells us that if we try to save our lives for our own sakes, we're going to lose it. It's only those who lose their life for Christ's sake will find eternal life in heaven. There really is no profit in gaining status or recognition, power, influence, or money if we lose our souls in the process. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that for the Christ follower, it's all about Jesus and not about our own achievements. Every Christian should be able to say that they have a personal experience with Christ, with pursuing His knowledge foremost in their hearts. Now, in his message called Finders Keepers, Losers Winners, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Paul did so much more good after meeting Jesus. How is that possible? Because listen, he was transformed. Here's the thing. He did the good because God had done a work in his heart. He didn't do the good to earn God's favor. He didn't go act righteously to get the smile from God. Because God had given him his smile, Paul got up and did the right things because he got to. Why do you do what you do? Because you have to or you get to. Can you imagine a husband coming home and saying, "Sweetheart, I want you to cook me my favorite meal tonight. And I want you to serve it with, you know, candles and..." Oh, what's the occasion? The occasion is I was at work all day today and I didn't cheat on you once. Isn't that great? So go ahead, cook it up. You know what she would say to him? She would say, "You're going to McDonald's." Husbands are not supposed to cheat on their wives. You don't get a happy face for not cheating on your wife. For crying out loud, you're married. That's the norm. It's, listen, I'm married. I'm in love. I don't cheat on my wife. It's not some badge of honor. Whew, babe, glad I'm home. Barely made it in the door. Wow, didn't cheat on you once, I hope you know. Tomorrow could be another day, I don't know. We don't get kudos for what we're supposed to do out of relationship. Do we love Jesus? Do we love Christ? Or is it the church thing? Is it the religious thing? Another important thing to understand this in verse 7 is that it's only true if you keep those things in their proper place. Paul says in verse 8, "Yet indeed I also count the loss of all things." This word is a different word. He now, watch, since becoming a Christian, he puts all things of the flesh as lost. This is encouraging to me. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the Apostle Paul, the greatest convert to Christianity. This man's works have changed worlds. And Paul says, "I still count those things as lost." It's a pregnant meaning. It means everything in the past is gone, and the stuff that's happening right now, I leave with God. Because in my life, Paul could preach the gospel, 1,000 people get saved, raise somebody from the dead, turn right around and trip over Peter's sandal and stand up and say, "Peter, you big jerk, you're nothing but a big overgrown fisherman. You drive me nuts. You and your babbling from the Galilee, I don't like you." And then he's convicted and goes to Peter and says, "I'm sorry, Peter, what just happened a moment ago? Jesus doesn't talk like that. That was Paul. I'm sorry, please forgive me. Read Romans 7. He understood that. That even to the things in the current, that doesn't mean we have a license to sin. You can't even think like that if God's in your heart. You want to live and walk with him. But when you trip over Peter's sandal, and it happens, I know, you look so saintly out here, but it happens. I mean, you know, it happens. You're to repent of it. The Holy Spirit's speaking to you. Listen, don't speak out loud. Have you ever sensed? I'd like to use the word heard, but I don't want to mislead you. Have you ever heard the Holy Spirit speak to you? It doesn't like he has a voice like this. Jack, I saw that. He doesn't talk like that. He talks with your own voice in your head, but you know it's not you. You would never bust you. Have you noticed that? You are always saying, I'm okay. I like me. We're doing fine. I'm a legend in my own mind. That's how we think. And then God speaks and he uses, I'm convinced of this. I think he uses our voice to speak his truth into our lives because our voice is the only voice we'll listen to. But you know it's not you. The whole sentence structure is not normal for you. And he's saying, what are you doing? Don't do that. I told you not to do that. I love you. Listen, I love you, but you're still going to get a spanking if you keep this up. You don't talk to yourself like that. The Holy Spirit talks to you like that. God is speaking to you. He's leading you. And Paul is saying, I still count to this moment all things lost. It's all about Jesus. It's not about my achievement. In 1 Timothy 1, verse 14, 1 Timothy 1, 14, Paul says, and the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love, which are in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance. That means you, me, each of us, take this to heart. And Paul bears his soul to us publicly that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Say amen.
Amen.
Thank God he came. Of whom I am chief, says Paul. You see, he's exaggerating. No, he's not. Here's the cool thing. Are you sitting down? Are you listening? Here's the amazing thing about encountering Jesus Christ and keeping these things in their proper place. The things of life, the things of morality, the things of goodness, the things of religion, the things of whatever. Paul says, I'm the chief of sinners. He's not lying. He's saying this is how it happened. I met Jesus. Friends, listen. Paul is saying, I had a personal experience with Jesus Christ. Every Christian is to be able to say, I've had a personal experience with Jesus Christ. And Paul says, when you look at Jesus Christ and he talks to you, he will reveal things to you about you. Listen, God is not going to reveal things to you about them, him or her. God will speak to me and reveal things about me. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't need Satan to mess up my life. I am totally capable. He talks to me. And Paul says, when he spoke to me, it became very clear that I'm the chief of sinners. The Christian can say that. Do you understand? I have never murdered anybody. But that doesn't mean I have not had hatred in my heart for somebody. And God says, listen, Jack, your spirit, you're guilty of murder. And that may not mean anything to you, but when Jesus tells you that, all of a sudden, I don't even have to think about what Paul's sins were, and I don't need to think about your sins. All of a sudden, I'm devastated by the revelation of God's face and smile. I don't know how he does that. He tells you such things with a smile, I think because he knows the outcome. And all of a sudden, I'm sick about myself. No wonder why he says that in me dwells no good thing. You say, Jack, you're killing me here. No, listen. That's how losers win in the kingdom of God. That's how this whole Christian thing works. You want to sweep it under the carpet? You want to hide it? That's called religion. It's called religion. The third thing that we see regarding this in verse 8 is that it's only true that as finders, keepers, losers, winners, that's only true if you see the superiority of Christ versus those things. Jesus is greater than. Friends, if you and I could get to heaven by some acts of our own, then Christ died in vain. He either died for all of us or his death was in vain. He says in verse 8, for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Some have said that this is the most meaningful verse in all of the Bible for those who believe in God. That the excellence of the knowledge of Christ. Think about it. You and I, by God's grace, God has opened up your heart. I hope I'm talking to all of you this morning. And I pray this. I pray this now. If you do not get this, I pray that God would quicken your heart. He'd poke you right in the heart. That the greatest desire of the true believer is to learn more about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Jesus, Jesus. I need to know more about Jesus. Even the person that is awakening to God speaking in their life will say things like, I don't know enough about Jesus. I need to know. Him, the knowledge of him. And that pursuit is the greatest pursuit in all of your life. You can be a scientist, you can be an astronaut, you can be, I don't care what it is, but nothing will trump the pursuit of God and knowing him in life, period. I don't care what it is. Imagine if we had, and thank God we do, but think about the mayor was sitting in the front row first service. Think about it, we had mayors who loved Jesus. Police who loved Jesus. Dads who loved Jesus. Moms who loved Jesus. Presidents who loved Jesus. Congressmen who loved Jesus. Imagine that for a moment. Whatever their attainments are, those things are counted lost because it's Jesus at the top in life. Christ first. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, 1 John 1, 1, John says, that which was from the beginning, that is, when creation happened, which we have heard, he's saying that when creation happened, God was there, which we have heard, says John, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. Can you imagine? John is saying that we saw Jesus, we heard him, we touched him. Wouldn't that be amazing? Actually, it is going to be amazing someday, huh? We're going to see him. Do you understand that? We're going to touch him. I don't think there's going to be a stanchion around the throne where you can't get near him. Now, keep your voice down. We're coming into the throne room. We just passed by, take a picture. I don't think so. I don't know how it's going to work. But if my grandkids can crawl into my lap... I'm sorry to say this, but a couple weeks ago, I was in the foyer talking to somebody, and my grandson came walking up. I didn't see him coming, but I felt him grab my leg. And immediately, I went down on my knee, and I gave him a hug, gave him a kiss. And the person I was talking to was a little bit upset that he interrupted. I love you, but I could care less. You want to know why? It was my grandson. You say, I find that highly offensive. Listen, you won't when Jesus does it to you. He's going to be there in heaven, and you're going to walk right up there and grab him by the leg. You're going to give him a hug. And no one's going to be upset about it. It's all going to be fine. I believe if God allows humanity to interface like that, how much more God? How much more God? I can't wait. And I'm glad that we don't exactly know what it's like. I know, Pastor, have you read the book about the guy that saw heaven? I don't want to read the book. I don't want to be disappointed. Seriously, if Paul couldn't talk about heaven, I'm not going to talk about it. I just know it's going to be amazing. And the truth of the matter is, we're going to handle him. John goes on, 1 John 1, verse 2, he says, or verse 1, he says, concerning the word of life, the life was manifested, that is revealed to us. We've seen and we bear witness and declare that to you, that eternal life which was with the Father was manifest to us, verse 3, and that which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ. That is amazing. Church, listen, we need maybe a divine disappointment. We might need a divine disillusionment. Until we understand fully and completely, I think we need a divine devastation. Meaning this, if we as a church get stripped down to where we ought to be, in the sense that, I'm not talking about anything external, I'm talking about distractions. 99% of them reside in our own heart and our minds. If we get stripped down to what concerned the first century church, you read the book of Acts and you love it and you want to go to a church like that. Really, do you really? Because they were concerned about the cross. They were concerned about sin. They were concerned about the lost. They were concerned about doctrine. They were concerned about prayer. Does that concern you? Do those things, because that's church. And I personally believe, this is one reporter's opinion, that we are now in the 21st century, and I'm beginning to wonder what in the world, or I should say, where in the world is the church? She's absent without leave or without permission. Where is she? The church in America, for example, where is she? How can these evils in our culture go unaddressed? The church has abandoned its influence to the civic leaders. The church used to be the banner carrier. The church. Well, you know, we need to be relevant. Do you now? You can buy books on how to start a church. It's all about being relevant. Really? How about this? God who made everything, he's relevant. Oh, no, you need to do this. You can't have chairs like this. You have to have chairs like that. You can't have that. You got to have this kind of lighting. You got to have this kind of verbiage. You got to have this kind of website. You got to have an app this way. You got to have this thing that way. Why? To be relevant. Excuse me. The Holy Spirit is relevant. He's relevant. He's the one that does it. All right, hang on. We need to get back to him, the power of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the Holy Spirit. But no, we're a church. We're so relevant that we drink. We can get drunk at our church. We're so relevant. We're so relevant. Come and we have smoking sessions at the church. We're so relevant. Really? Holy Spirit needs that, right? Churches need that? Hey, you know what? Churches need to do whatever they need to do if the Holy Spirit's not building the church. Did you get that? It's kind of sarcastic. I'm doing that intentionally. If the Holy Spirit's not there, what are you going to do? Well, we got to be relevant. What does that really mean? We've got to be just like the world so they come. Really? Did you see a week and a half ago? And then it's all over the web. It's all over the news. Go ahead and put this slide up of this. This is crazy. You know the Naked Cowboy in New York City? Have you ever been to New York City? The naked cowboy's in the middle of the street there at Times Square. You know what I'm talking about? Yes. Oh, he's naked. I mean, he's not really naked. He's wearing his Fruit of the Loom underwear, for real. A guitar and boots. Sings. It's his business. He actually gets paid. That's his thing. Okay. Well, this is not Times Square. This is a church service in New York City. And the whole leadership said it was our attempt to be relevant. What are you trying to do? To have people like you, or to get them to the cross, to love Jesus for who he is, and to understand that the world is unholy, but God is holy. That the church ought to be that city that is set on a hill, that is a gleaming fortress of hope for people to run into and find actual meaning to life and to understand. Can you imagine Paul the Apostle showing up to this service? Seriously. Listen, I would hope that Paul the Apostle or Jesus or Peter could show up to the service and sit down and at the end of the service say, okay, praise the Lord. Don't you want to have that happen in your church? But listen, when the Holy Spirit's not at a church, you got to do this stuff. You got to speak carnally to people to get their carnal response. And you'll never get a soul into heaven. I think Satan laughs at such things. You say, man, that's harsh. You know what? Eternity without Jesus, that's harsh. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, came into the world to save sinners. Then sign me up. I want to go to the front of the line. If he saves sinners, I'm one. But today, if you want to do the opposite of what Paul is saying, if you want to say, no, I want to protect my life, I got to win, then listen, you are going to have a very, 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 very small life. And you're going to have a horrible ending because the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Does that offend you? This last week, as I said, I was sick and the doctor, I went there, my throat was just, I could hardly breathe. It was so swollen shut. And I go to the urgent care thing and the doctor goes, stick out your tongue. First of all, he walks in the room. He's like this. Stick out your tongue. And I'm thinking. And then he decides to look and that's very infected. That's why I'm here. And he goes, we need to swab that. We need to get a culture on that. Hang on, 10 minutes. Comes back. He just goes, I don't know what this is. We're going to take another one and send it out. I'll call you later. And then he grabs my throat, and he's hurting me. Does it hurt here? Yes. How about here? Bad. How about there? Worse. And you know what? It dawned on me. What am I thinking about? I'm not going to have a picnic with this guy. We're not going to go to the movies after this is over. It's not a dinner and a date. He's a doctor. I want him to tell me what's wrong. He's not out to win a personality contest with me. I want him to tell me straight up. Listen, today Jesus is saying, I'll tell you straight up. You need me, Jesus is saying. You can't go to heaven on your goodness. There ain't no goodness in heaven but God. The people who are in heaven are sinners who have been saved by him. Do you understand that? No one drags their righteousness into heaven. Hey, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, me. No. It's him and all those who he has saved. And so the doctor told me with painful deeds that I needed this stuff, okay? And that's what he was there for, and that's what I was there for. If the doctor would have said, you know, there's something wrong. I'm just not going to tell you what it is, though. I don't hurt your feelings. So you just go around, you just kiss everybody you can find. You go ahead and lick doorknobs for all I care. Just spread the love around. That would have been a quack, right? No, and the second thing is this, in verse 8, is that Paul teaches us accounting terms, accounting biblical truth for ourselves. What does that mean? Concluding. He says, and counting them as rubbish. All of these achievements of religious acts or status, he says rubbish. The word is amazing. I'm not going to elaborate because it's actually too graphic to talk about. There's young people here in the service. The word rubbish here, I'll simply put, the word means waste, like human waste, dung, human waste. That's the word he used. Wow. Paul is speaking of himself, all of my achievements. The word means a wild dog won't even get near this stuff. A wild dog will get near about anything. But if there's human waste on the path, the dog's going down and it's like, boop! The dog will just, And Paul says, that's my acts of righteousness without God.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Finders Keepers, Losers Winners. Thanks for joining us for our teaching time today. Finders Keepers, Losers Winners is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Philippians. It's a letter from the Apostle Paul to remind us that praying and trusting in God will bring to us a peace that passes all understanding. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, one of the things that we all have in common is we're all going to experience challenges in this world. But like the Lord tells us in the book of Revelation, anxiety, worry, and fear will not have the final say in our lives. God loves us, and he cares for us, and he offers all who come to him a peace that surpasses all natural understanding. So, if you want that kind of relationship with God, but you're really not sure how to go about it, simply go to jackhibbs.com. There's a tab there, and it's labeled Know God. That's spelled out K-N-O-W, God. And once you're there, you'll discover just how much you matter to God, and you'll find out how to have a close personal relationship with him. Again, it's the tab labeled Know God at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.